So sorry for the delay. There's just been a lot of crazy things going on. Looking for a new job because none of y'all want to pay me for my work. So here we are. We are back, baby. And I'm joined by my best friend and favorite guest in the world,
Jacob Urban.
All right. And today we are doing an episode called Honky Kong Phony, or How White Supremacy Created the Careers of the Foremost Mediocre Martial Artist. And we are recording from the garage in No Retreat, No Surrender. And we are with the ghost of Bruce Lee, who looks nothing like Bruce Lee. He's kind of doughy, and he's going to teach us karate, even though Bruce Lee knew kung fu. And he's going to teach us to beat up Jean-Claude Van Damme, who's Russian for some reason.
And he, like, paralyzed our dad? That's what happened in that one?
He broke his knee or something. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. His dad didn't want to fight for him, so... I just remember his dojo for like black market shit, or
yeah. I just remember Bill Wallace being like, fighting is wrong to his son when he shakes him. That movie sucks.
Yeah, that movie's awful.
Okay, what I will say is before Chuck Norris had his action pants, they were Superfoot Bill Wallace's action pants. Thank you. I mean, like, they both advertised stretchy pants that were made by Century, which is like a martial arts supply company. And back in the 80s, in the back of comic books, they had like stretchy Chuck Norris pants that were like, you can kick somebody in your jeans without splitting your pants. What a world.
What a world. The 80s and 90s were a very different time and place.
Yes, they were.
Especially when it came to comic book ads.
Millicent Oriana, culture expert. While seeking to unlock the secrets of all fandoms, she is exposed to an overload of every aspect of pop culture. Now, when asked a question about a piece of popular culture, she becomes curious. Now hosting a podcast and joined by amazing guests, she seeks to find answers and find a way to live off her talents and to make a fun podcast.
Don't make me ask questions. I took a sabbatical for a few weeks, and I probably don't remember how. So, yeah, today we're going to talk about a bunch of mediocre martial artists, and we're going to talk a little bit about Russia, and I will say right now to everybody out there, my friends in Ukraine and listeners, I'm sorry about what's going on. I know it's hard having a country invaded. I've never experienced it myself, but it must be a nightmare. And my listeners in Russia, if there's any, because I don't know what Spotify or anybody else is doing right now, I'm sorry that you guys have to deal with all these sanctions and stuff like that. Moving on, we're going to start off by talking about David Carradine. And I mean, I will say right now that David Carradine's martial arts credentials were faulty at best, but we can all agree he was a master of chokeholds.
That's terrible.
Oh, I know. David Carradine was born December 8th, 1936, and died on June 3rd, 2009. He was born John Arthur Carradine Jr., the son of John Carradine, famous B-movie star. Anybody who's ever watched a Mystery Science Theater or Riff Tracks is very well aware of who John Carradine was.
The power! The power! The power! The power!
The what now?
David Carradine, of course, is most famous for playing Kwai Chang Kane on the series Kung Fu. And he was a Shaolin monk who was half Chinese, half white. And it was a lot of TV magic that made him look like a martial artist. I will say that. Anybody who watches Black Dynamite, you may remember the anecdote by Michael J. White where he says, David Carradine was only there because they replaced Bruce Lee with a white man the same way they did Jesus.
Now that's a bunch of bull. That ain't no kung fu and he ain't no China. And it wasn't even supposed to be his slow white ass anyway. The series was created by Bruce Lee, but the man stole it from him and cast a cracker just like they did Jesus.
And that's absolutely true. Bruce Lee was originally the one who created kung fu. He was supposed to be the main character in kung fu. It was a Western about a Chinese man who wandered across the country searching for his brother. The network executives decided that they couldn't have a show starring a Chinese man in 1970. So they put David Carradine in it. And the rest is history. Thankfully, we got the three movies that Bruce Lee was in. Unfortunately, he was dumb enough to have his armpit sweat glands removed. He did this to make himself like look more appealing in his movies, and he died of heat stroke. There's a ton of evidence of it, and anybody who's willing to do the research can find the man died of heat stroke, and the Hong Kong medical examiner blamed it on cannabis consumption because he had no idea what cannabis did to people.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that.
Oh, yeah. David Carradine made a bunch of workout tapes in the 90s that were like Tai Chi tapes and stuff where he moved really like badly.
I knew about these.
He also had this weird like dildo thing that was like a workout tape where he just like sat there with this weird like dildo exercising with it. And like, I mean, the thing looks like a dildo. If I can ever find the video, I would love to share it on Facebook. But yeah, David Carradine, it looks like he's juggling a dildo around and it's a workout tape.
So what you're kind of telling me is that the man was always kind of perverted.
Yeah, I mean, he wore a gimp suit in Death Race 2000.
Oh, I know he did.
Like, and okay, there's this movie called Future Force where he has like a mechanical arm that chokes a guy to death at the end.
Sploosh!
Yep.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yep, yep, yep.
Wait, do you think it's safe?
No.
And I remember just thinking to myself, he has a literal choking machine in that fucking movie. Like, Jesus. For those listeners that are unaware, David Carradine died jerking off in a closet with a belt around his neck.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not going to yuck someone's yum on this, but what a way to go.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. Sorry.
What are you doing?
I thought you said start slacking off.
Not slacking off.
One thing that people need to know, if any of you think that my David Carradine claims aren't substantiated, there's a deleted scene in Kill Bill where he fights Michael J. White, and you can tell that David Carradine had never been like a martial artist in his life.
Well, I mean, he may have claimed it, but nobody else did.
Yeah, nobody else did, including anybody that ever watched him fight.
Yeah, like, it's very clear from the way he moves, he never really,
Yeah, the most he ever did is wave a dildo around in a workout tape.
Yeah.
Just remember that next time you think about somebody being a martial artist just because they're in a movie. Moving on, we're going to talk about our good friend Jean-Claude Van Damme, the muscles from Brussels.
Who actually was a martial artist?
Yeah, he was a martial artist. Like, there is photographic evidence of him in a gi kicking people in, like, the 70s. But nobody becomes a fucking second Dan in any martial art in 2 years. That's nonsense.
It's just, so with Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know, his record is pretty unbelievable when you look at his competition records.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, so it's all minimal contact. So it's, you know, it's about being flexible and fast. But he has like Butterbean's record, basically. Like, he has a better record than him. And
he had 48 total minimal contact matches with
47 wins.
Or no, it was 48 total matches. And he had 44 wins and 4 losses.
Yeah. And I mean, those numbers are kind of ridiculous.
And then his kickboxing numbers were...
he had like 1 loss, right?
Yeah, 1 loss in like 19 total fights.
Yeah.
And all of his fights ended in knockout. Yeah. So...
he's not Butterbean, everybody. Butterbean is basically a carnival freak who became a boxer. And I mean, case in point, Johnny Knoxville can take a wallop and he was able to knock him out in like a second flat.
Yeah, yeah, Johnny Knoxville is a very resilient human being.
So Van Damme was born October 18th, 1960, and middleweight kickboxer, of course, like he claimed. He also claims that he does karate, kickboxing, Muay Thai, and Taekwondo. Claims he's a second Dan black belt in Shokotan, and I mean, it's probably nonsense. My personal favorite thing about Jean-Claude Van Damme is in the Street Fighter movie, any of us that are old enough to remember, he played Guile, and he had an American flag tattooed on his arm. And I don't know if any of you know this, but the man could barely speak English in that movie.
Come out from behind the curtain, wizard. Let's see how pure your combat really is. Come on.
So no, that's exactly what he wants.
No, T-Hub. That's what we both want. Am I right, Bison? Are you men enough to fight with me?
Yeah, his accent is very strong in that one. So we're watching that thing about him, that little mini thing about his fight, and said that he left for the U.S. at 18.
Yeah, he left for the U.S. at 18. He claimed that from the time he was 16 to 18, he got a second degree Dan in Shokutan.
And like, my feeling is after watching that video is that he was like an all right martial artist when he was young, and then he started acting and he completely stopped training.
Yeah. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not like saying, oh, I could kick all these people's asses or anything like that. I did a little bit of martial arts and I've gotten way out of shape, but you know, I can definitely say the dude's a fraud.
Just not as fraudulent as some of the people we're talking about.
Some of the people we're talking about, including Carradine and, of course,
everyone's favorite.
Everyone's favorite, who we'll talk about last, because, you know, you always save the worst for last. Van Damme, I like to tell this anecdote. I remember years and years ago, I was smoking weed with a coworker who actually worked as a PA or something like that on the set of a movie. And there was this sniper who was blinded because of Jean-Claude Van Damme. The whole time, everybody was telling him not to hold the stunt knife the way he was because it was dangerous. But he kept holding the knife like that because it looked cool. And he waved it by the guy's face and he took out the dude's eye. The guy was a Marine sniper and everything, and it was the eye he used for shooting.
Oh, so he like completely ruined his life.
Yeah, he like ruined the guy's life and he didn't feel bad about it at all.
Yeah, that sounds like a Jean-Claude story.
Yeah. Another one of my favorite Jean-Claude stories is in the Street Fighter movie from 1994. You can actually see throughout the whole movie, he has a giant goose egg on his head. Goose egg on his head. And it's apparently because his wife caught him sleeping with Gale Manoa, who played Cammy in the Street Fighter movie. When I think of martial arts, I think of a pop singer from Australia.
Yeah.
But she caught him in bed with her and apparently threw a lamp at him. And that's why he had that giant goose egg on his head the whole movie. Yeah.
I do remember this. I don't remember the backstory behind it, but I do remember him having that fucking goose egg the entire movie.
Yeah, the entire movie. He also got beat up by a bodyguard at one point, which apparently he was being an asshole. Another anecdote that people have talked about is he was originally going to be the monster in Predator, and he was starting fights with people on the set, and Jesse Ventura finally had enough of his bullshit, and he tried fighting him. And Ventura, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, well, we'll probably do an episode all about him and how him and Alex Jones are looking for the mole men. But speaking of Alex Jones, everybody, buy Patriot Porridge. You'll like Alex Jones if you eat enough Patriot Porridge. Patriot Porridge makes you believe in anything. But moving back to Jesse Ventura, he apparently grabbed Van Damme and threw him into a tree and damaged a plate in his back. And they would have had to cancel production to allow Jean-Claude Van Damme to heal. So they just fired him outright. And Arnold was like, I got a friend who's a mime who's like freakishly tall.
Okay.
And you know Harry from Harry and the Hendersons, the guy, the Bigfoot?
Yeah.
The guy that was in the Bigfoot costume was the one that played Predator.
Okay. Like, I knew that, and I knew that there was the rumor of Jean-Claude Van Damme playing the Predator.
Yeah, originally he was going to be the Predator, and he looked like a lobster. Like, he looked a lot like, it was more like Zoidberg killing everybody.
It's Zoidberg. John Zoidberg.
Than like what we got with
I'd watch that movie.
Oh, I would too, but I mean, I like the Yauta with their crazy fused together like tendrils that look like dreads and stuff.
The creature design is great.
Yeah,
that we got, but I'm just saying I would watch a movie that was basically a Zoidberg fucking killing a group of Marines.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, we have to do an entire episode about the production of Predator sometime, so that's like, that's a crazy story.
It is.
Moving on to Chuck Norris now. Chuck Norris, of course, as we all know, is the guy who fought Bruce Lee in a movie famously. From everything I've ever heard, Bruce Lee did not like the man at all.
I've heard this as well.
Yeah, he just did not like the dude at all. And Chuck Norris has always rode that as like his like big accomplishment. I mean, other than that, he was in that crappy show for like 10 years.
Oh, Walker.
Yeah, Walker.
The unsuspecting stranger had better know the truth of wrong from right.
Cause the I never got on the Chuck Norris bandwagon. I never liked him. Like, even as a kid, I didn't watch his action movies.
Yeah, his movies always kind of sucked.
Like,
I mean, he made Canon Films. Like, he made their action movies. And let's be real, Canon was the RC Cola of movies.
Yeah, that's a very apt description.
Like, I'd consider Arnold Schwarzenegger to be like Coca-Cola, Stallone to be like Pepsi, and Chuck Norris was like RC Cola.
Yeah, or, you know, the grocery store name brand cola.
Yeah, or like the grocery store cola. Like, okay, actually, I would say that at that point in time, that would have been, what's his name? Lorenzo Lamas.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, but that's the thing. I didn't watch his movies as a kid. The only one I do remember, we're going to talk about in a moment, which was Sidekicks. Other than that, though, I don't remember his movies. And then when everybody started going off on the Chuck Norris facts memes, I just thought they were fucking stupid.
Yeah, I thought they were like the dumbest thing ever. I mean, granted, though, I will say that the riff tracks of the Chuck Norris movies are really great.
Oh, I bet they are, because those movies are objectively terrible.
I mean, we watched Silent Rage together.
We did.
Remember they injected that guy with the purple stuff and he came back to life? It was like a really bad pilot for Walker.
A really, really bad pilot for Walker.
Imagine an episode of Walker with a zombie.
Yeah. Which,
I mean, it's not that much of a stretch how fucking stupid that show was.
But again, like, even with this... with this premise, it sounds better than it is.
Yeah, it really does sound better than it
is. Like, the movie was very long and boring. Like, the pacing was awful.
Yeah. And even earlier than that, we've got Breaker Breaker, which is like this movie that's like super offensive to Romani people because like they're like the villains, I think. They keep calling them gypsies, so I don't know what's up, but you know, usually people are being racist toward Romani or just nomadic people.
In general.
But, like, I guess they steal, like, TV dinners or something from his, like, brother. The point is, the movie ends with Chuck Norris being, like, you know, fighting all these people. And all these truckers are like, he's in trouble. So they start crashing their semis through the town. And you know they killed a ton of elderly people and women and children, because they demolished the entire town with their semis. And at the end, it's like, oh, the heroes won.
But they just demolished an entire town.
And probably killed a ton of people.
Yeah. They were not heroes in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, now we're going to talk about Sidekicks.
Which, yeah, this is really the only Chuck Norris movie I watched as a kid. And
it's the only Chuck Norris movie that I can remember really that well.
Here's the thing. I grew up in the mountains. So there was one video rental store nearby, and it was more of like a convenience mart type deal, which had a very small selection of VHS tapes you could rent. So when we would rent a movie from there, I had very little options.
Yeah. And of course, anybody that knows, Sidekicks was made in 1992, starring Chuck Norris and Jonathan Brandis. The whole movie was about a kid that was obsessed with Chuck Norris and daydreamed about being in movies with him. I mean, the whole movie is like an advertisement for Chuck Norris in a weird way, and not very good. I know Joe Piscopo plays like the kid's mean karate teacher, and he gets like kicked out of his class because he's like, you know, not like a superheroic killer with like a perfect body right away or something. And then Mako... sweet, sweet Mako, who we all love. We're going to talk about Samurai Jack all the time. We'll talk about Last Airbender maybe, but, like, you know, there's already 100 people that do that. There's already a podcast about Last Airbender. So if we're going to talk about Mako, we're probably going to talk about him playing Aku.
Yeah, like other people have covered the vast majority of his works already.
Well, at least Last Airbender. I mean, yeah. I don't know if anybody's done an entire episode, like, podcast about Conan the Destroyer.
Maybe.
Yeah, and I don't know any other things that he was in other than being Uncle Iroh, Aku, and he was some guy in Conan the Destroyer. And, oh, okay, he taught Jonathan Brandis karate in this movie. And So
back to sidekicks.
Yeah, back to sidekicks and Jonathan Brandis, which, I mean, he was that poor kid was a busy little beaver in 1992. Other than that, he's best known for a show called Sequest, which was like boring Star Trek, but underwater.
Yeah, it was just a boring 90s sci-fi TV show.
Yeah, and he was also in a movie called Ladybugs, which anybody that saw that, I'm pretty sure if anybody made that movie in this day and age, they would go to jail. The whole movie was about like Rodney Dangerfield convincing his girlfriend's son to like dress up as a girl to compete in a girls' soccer team. And like, there's a ton of jokes about him being like, you know, effeminate and Rodney Dangerfield being a pedophile or something like that. I can't remember the whole thing. I will say that the movie's just awkward and would not get made today. Case in point, another movie, Milk Money. We'll do an entire episode about that at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, the 90s were a very strange time, especially when it came to kids' movies.
Yes, they were.
And really, especially in the 90s kids' sports movies.
Oh, my God. I know. The abusive parents and everything. Oh, I can't wait to do it.
Like, every
that.
Single one of them had, like, one horrifyingly abusive parent.
Yeah. So, poor Jonathan Brandis eventually killed himself by hanging himself. Second person in the show who's hung themselves. He did it because he was typecast and he just could not get work at a certain point.
Which is just really sad. Yeah. I mean, like, you can't help but feel bad for the guy after that.
Yeah, you can't help but feel bad for the guy. Moving on, because we want to move to a positive note. We're going to talk about probably the biggest piece of shit who's ever existed ever. Steven Seagal.
Mr. Steven Seagal, fly down on Jamaica, same one. What is y'all? So them send for Lee and the Slark, I have done no more wrong. You see me? So?
Girl, what you really want, darling?
Me want the money if you make me feel nice. Why? Tell me what you really want all night.
Me want the punani if you make me nice.
Me want the money, him want the punani.
Steven Seagal was born April 10th, 1952. Claims he is a seventh Dan in Aikido. He had four wives. His first wife claims that all of his martial arts credentials are complete bullshit. He's a terrible, terrible, terrible musician. Who has the largest collection of classic guitars and the largest collection of samurai swords anywhere in the world.
Yeah, you know. Just because someone's rich doesn't mean that they're, you know, deserving.
Absolutely. And I mean, if we're going to talk about somebody who doesn't deserve anything in life, it's this guy.
So please welcome action star and hero, Steven Seagal.
You got a problem with me? I'm your worst nightmare. I have no fear of death. More important, I don't fear life. I'm a big action movie star, and people are pretty stoked on me.
So, as we said, complete bullshit with his martial arts credentials. There's, like, nobody that can back any of this up.
Yeah, it's just talk from him.
It's all just talk. He's also a terrible musician who made a weird album where he says, "Me want the punani" multiple times.
Me want the punani, see for me, my name.
He also is an accused rapist, which if you look at him, he looks like a fucking rapist. The man wears a bulletproof kimono. He's a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, out of all the people in the world who probably have actual risk of assassination against them, I don't think he's very high on that list.
Yeah, unless it's one of the people that's accused him of sexual assault, which there are a lot.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about this earlier, you know, one accusation, you know, might be true, might not be. Start getting into two, three realm, there's a pattern forming. When you're at seven, it's kind of, he did this.
Yeah, he did the damn thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. A great example of, like, just what a crappy dude he is. There's rumors going around right now that he was captured in Ukraine fighting for Russia because he's part of a super right-wing nationalist party that's only political platform is they want to invade Ukraine.
Yeah, like, that's really all we could find is, like, well, okay, they're very confused as well. Yeah.
It's like they think they're left wing and stuff, but they're like nationalist, and all their the only stance they really take is they want to invade Ukraine.
Yeah, that was really it.
And so Seagal, there's rumors that he was captured there because he's been fighting for the Russian army, which we could only hope. We could only hope that he was captured.
I mean, I doubt it, because I don't think that man would ever go like within miles of a battlefield.
I don't know. He dressed up like a cop for his reality show where he crashed a tank through a wall and killed like a bunch of dogs and chickens. True.
Yeah, there was also that show where he was a cop.
Yeah, he was a cop, and he, like, crashed a tank through a wall and killed a bunch of pets in this guy's house.
Like, Tom Segura does a joke about it, how there was legitimately a time where you could be drunk at a bar in Florida and risk getting arrested by Steven Seagal.
And Louisiana.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's also a cop in Louisiana. I want to say he was also a cop in Arizona.
Which I think he was in Arizona too. Oh, and he'd always speak like the worst Spanish imaginable.
Oh, no, he'd always speak the worst Spanish imaginable. And I mean, the guy also claims that he's like Native American, and it's total bullshit. It's like absolute bullshit.
Also on that show, you got to find out that he was an expert in everything.
Yeah, he's an expert in everything. That's what's really freaky about the guy. Like, apparently he'll be like, you know, you could like show him an instrument he's never seen, and he'll be like, oh yeah, I know how to play that. Played that for hundreds of years. And it's like, what?
Dude, are you a fucking wizard? What is going on here?
Yeah, what's going on here? Like he'll see a bird, and he'll be like, it's the habucock. And it's like, well, what is that? And it's like, oh, well, it's that bird. It's like, oh, I think that's an eagle. Well, yeah, you only think that because you're stupid. I'm Steven Seagal. I know everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a great part about that show, is that you did definitely get to see how unlikable of a human being he actually is.
Absolutely.
Because, yeah, again, you know, he was an expert in everything. Like, things that take lifetimes to master, he knew.
Yeah. Oh, and again, like, so he's written a book about this Native American guy, and you could just totally tell that the dude's a stand-in for Steven Seagal. And he constantly talks about, like, his Native American ancestry and stuff like that. And I'm going to say right now, like, and I know if I have any Native American listeners, they'll agree. Any white person who just pretends to be Native American is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
They're an absolute piece of shit.
Like, you know, there are white people who they do have some sort of Native American ancestry. Like, we're not discounting that.
We're not discounting that.
Like,
at
that
all.
Did happen. Like, there are people with that heritage, but I don't think Steven Seagal is one of those people.
Yeah, I don't think Steven Seagal is one of those people at all. And a great example also of Steven Seagal just being like completely like full of shit. Out for Justice, the 1991 film. John Leguizamo has a few fun stories about that. One of which being that Steven Seagal came out and like the first thing he did when he met everybody, he said, I am general. I am shogun. I am in charge here. And John Leguizamo started like mocking him, going like, because he thought Steven Seagal was joking. And these are his words, not mine. He, as he put it in a special he did, the man sounded retarded. So I was just trying to repeat him. At which point, Steven Seagal slammed him into a wall and like began to choke him. And he thought to himself, what the fuck? Why are you doing this? Another great story from the set of that film was he apparently claimed to everybody that he was immune to every form of chokehold. Martial arts legend Gene LaBelle, the greatest grappler in history, the man that Bruce Lee claimed was the greatest martial artist who ever lived, was there. And Gene LaBelle said, I can definitely put you in a chokehold you can't get out of. Seagal and him went toe-to-toe, and Seagal apparently turned like purple and started making funny noises, and then went completely limp. And LaBelle said, oh, gee. And everybody asked what happened. He said, I think I just made that poor guy poop his pants. And John Leguizamo backs it up. I am the anti-Joe Rogan, but I will even say on that dude's podcast, I believe they've talked about it too. So it goes to show what kind of jackass Seagal is.
Yeah, like it's actually a kind of well-known story about him.
Yeah, it's like a pretty well-known story about him. And I mean,
along with the other stories of him just being genuinely terrible.
Yeah. Also, the guy apparently all he wears is bulletproof clothing. who the fuck is going to shoot Steven Seagal?
Yeah, like, there's nothing to be gained by that.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be like killing any of the other celebrities that moved to Russia. It'd be like shooting Axl Rose or Fred Durst.
Yeah, like, there's nothing to be gained by...
What do you gain? I mean, Fred Durst, honestly, he looks like a Scooby-Doo villain now.
He does, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, and Axl Rose, I mean... He looked way stupider when he had cornrows and he was like going bald. And I mean, I wish he still looked like that because at least it was funny.
Yeah, he kind of looks like a pumpkin now.
He kind of just looks like a pumpkin. I mean, at this point, it might be that him and Val Kilmer are the same guy.
Maybe.
Not really, but they do look a lot alike.
A little bit. So, yeah, how does this all translate to white supremacy?
Okay, yeah, so getting back to all these people and all these bags of crap, I mean, I've seen Chuck Norris in a ton of martial arts movies, and as a yellow belt, when I was a yellow belt, I could do sweep kicks and, like, jump kicks and stuff, and it was just one of those things where it was, like, at, like, 12, I had the same proficiency in choreography that Chuck Norris has, and I'm not saying that he's a bad martial artist. I mean, he's the one person on here who has actual credentials.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he does. Like, they're recorded. They're easy to find. You can verify them.
He still actively, like, owns martial arts schools. I mean, he doesn't teach them anymore because he's, like, 82. But the thing is, the guy looks like a first-year student in all of his movies. And that doesn't always translate to good choreography. You could be a great martial artist and a terrible choreographer.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, when you're thinking about movie, a fight for a movie is, it's not an actual fight. You want it to look good, but that doesn't mean it needs to be, like, legitimate fighting techniques.
Oh, absolutely. It just needs to look good. I mean, case in point, Jean-Claude Van Damme, he can do some pretty flashy stuff in his movies.
Well, and especially at like more recent martial arts movies, I definitely do feel like they're more focused on showing effective martial arts a lot of the time, like when it's a legitimate martial artist doing it.
Oh yeah, I mean, like The Night Comes for Us is one of my favorite martial arts movies I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, well, I mean, all the movies those guys did. The Raid and The Raid 2 were also great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. And I have a huge affinity for Sammo Hung and Jackie Chan, who did a lot of, like, really just showy stuff.
Yeah.
It's all very showy.
And, I mean, you know, again, when you're thinking about the choreography of a fight, you're thinking about where the camera's going to be at, too, and what the best angle to capture this.
Oh, yeah.
One scene's going to be from.
Yeah, and that's the thing. With a martial arts film career, your choreography has to be there. And with Chuck Norris, the choreography is absolute dog shit. And
yeah.
It was this thing where it was like, but that's a white guy doing karate, so we got to make it. Like, and come on. I mean, he got famous in the fucking Reagan era, the Hulk Hogan, I Am a Real American, Margaret Thatcher, like, everybody was just super fucking right-wing and crazy. And, I mean, come on, let's be real. 95% of the time, ultra-right-wing politics are synonymous with white supremacy.
A lot of the time, yes.
Yeah, and David Carradine, well, again, him replacing Bruce Lee in Kung Fu, that's outright just an example of white supremacy.
Yeah, you know, you take the guy who is a legitimate martial artist and
on a show called Kung Fu.
Yeah.
And you replace him with a white guy that, like, moves like a fucking cow with a stick up its ass. And then, of course, I mean, you have Jean-Claude Van Damme, who it was the same thing. It was like, well, he's a white guy and he does martial arts. And in 1980s, 1990s America, nobody wants to relate to somebody who isn't white. I mean, it's like when you hear people still saying that to this day. I can't play this video game because it's a woman is the main character. It's like, look, just because you lack empathy doesn't mean that everybody else does.
Yeah. Like, I'm heterosexual white male, and I have no problem playing as a female character.
Yeah. I mean, shit, when I thought I was a straight guy back in the day, I had no problem being the Tomb Raider.
Yeah, like, I had no problem playing Tomb Raider. I had no problem playing Horizon or The Last of Us. Like,
before I was a woman, I had no problem identifying with Jyn Erso. I mean, shit, I'm looking at my Rogue One poster from back in the day right now.
Yeah, And, you know, off topic, but I do feel like Rogue One is underappreciated as a Star Wars movie.
Absolutely. And if we ever do a Star Wars episode, it's going to just be about how great Rogue One is. So just throwing that out there.
I mean, there's a lot of things I could talk about with Star Wars, but...
Yeah, but, you know, on this show, I think Rogue One would be a great episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, again, we've covered The Muscles from Brussels. We've covered Chuck Norris. And if you've ever seen Steven Seagal's martial arts prowess... Okay, it literally looks like a man just opening a bunch of jars of peanuts.
And, you know, the peanuts flailing wildly.
And make a snapping noise when he opens them.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. It just, it's this dude just overpowering everybody and twisting their bone until they break. I mean.
Like, there's only one, like, bit of actual, like, tournament footage I've seen of Steven Seagal. And it looked like one of those fake karate school videos where, like, he's grabbing a guy by the wrist and like just kind of twisting a little bit. And the guy just like does a full front flip.
Yeah. The guy jumps off of his feet and everything. And it was a bunch of sycophants in Russia who were trying to impress him and Putin because he was buddies with Putin. I mean, honestly, I will say this right now. I think the tackle and grapple guy from Key and Peele is a more legit martial artist than Steven Seagal.
Come on down to Doug Duggar's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. There are men at different levels. There's the beginner level. And if you pass my private one-on-one sensei trial, you may make it into the advanced class. Tackle and grapple, special discounts for college students. So, move it, get your leg back.
I mean, shit, even the guy who invented Dim Mak is a more legitimate martial artist than him.
Oh, what's Dim Mak?
The death touch.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, death dude touch. Would sell you his classes out of the back of, like, comic books and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, that's right. The touch of death. Yeah.
And he obviously this man was a fake martial artist.
Or just a nut.
Yeah, like, I can't remember his name right now. I might look that up real quick. Okay, I think it was Earl Montague was the guy I'm thinking of. And he would have, like... the late night commercials for his books and videos on how to do these techniques.
Impress your friends, terrify your enemies.
Yeah, it was like the same, like the guy who sold the videos on how to become a ninja, and he was like, you can dodge bullets with this technique.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to say right now, folks, the only person who ever sold anything of physical improvement in the back of a comic book. Okay, there's two. Charles Atlas and Jack LaLanne. They're super sexist commercials, or sorry, super sexist advertisements in the back of comics where the skinny guy gets beat up by the muscular dude and then he becomes like some roided out monster and defeats the guy and gets his girlfriend back. They should have had a good arm tearing in one of those ads. Dude, yeah. Just bleeding everywhere. The girl runs away in terror because her former boyfriend's now a monster.
Yeah.
I mean,
steroids will do that.
Yeah. No, these weren't steroids. I will say that about Charles Atlas and Jack LaLanne. I mean, they looked like they were like roid people, but they were just like physically perfect because all they did is work out.
Yeah. And, you know, you can have that body, but you give up everything else in life.
Everything else in life.
Yeah. You know, so. I'd say most people should just be comfortable hitting the gym like 3 times a week.
Oh, yeah, and you're not going to look like that, but you might be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, you'll be better off than what you were.
Oh, yeah.
If you can go more, go more. But, you know, don't give up flavor and sustenance for that.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not saying that all American martial artists or white people who are martial artists are bad. Don't feel that way about this. I mean, I'm a huge Batman fan.
Well, I mean, there are plenty of legitimate American martial artists.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There are plenty of them. It's just these four in particular were, you know, lauded for their prowess.
Yeah, they were lauded for their prowess, and they were like the biggest of the big throughout the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Yeah, they were, you know, they made millions and millions of dollars off of the idea that they were able to do these things.
And the whole time there were actual legit martial artists that could have been better at it. I mean, look at Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
Jim Kelly could have been the big American martial arts star. If anybody had cared to put a black guy as a starring role in a major martial arts film. Instead, Jim Kelly was stuck doing a bunch of B blaxploitation films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is like definitely one of the things about Bruce Lee I I really do admire is that he did always try to have like other ethnicities in a lot of his movies.
Oh, he had extremely diverse cast in his movies. I mean, Enter the Dragon being the absolute best example of that.
Yeah.
But his unfinished project, Game of Death, I mean, he had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as like the main dude he fought at the end.
Yeah. Like, I think he understood how racist the filmmaking business was at that point.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, is the most nonsensical biography I think I've ever seen of anybody. But one thing they did get accurate is the entire reason he got paralyzed is because he got challenged to a duel by the Chinese Martial Arts Society in San Francisco because he was the first Chinese martial arts teacher in the country to teach Westerners.
Yeah.
Like, they used to say racist shit about it, like, leave that to the Japs, as they put it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I wasn't there, so I don't know any firsthand. Well,
there was a time that Japanese martial arts were about all that Americans could learn other than, like, you know, other martial arts. I mean, I
there are martial arts that come out from all over the world.
Exactly. I don't think any African martial arts have ever really had a foothold here, but...
Brazilian jiu-jitsu wasn't famous.
Wasn't even a thing yet.
Yeah, it wasn't really even a thing at that point. Yeah.
And I mean, nobody had brought N'Golo or what's that other one from Africa that's really cool? Sengal, I think is what it's called.
Maybe. I'm not sure. But yeah, like, you know, we're not discounting that, you know.
There are martial arts from everywhere. Yeah. It's not like only Asian people can do martial arts. Yeah. I mean, shit. Kiss the Dragon is one of my favorite martial arts movies. And it's all people practicing French martial arts except for Jet Li.
Yeah. So, you know, every culture has a martial art of some kind. You know, human beings are very combative creatures. We have warred with each other since the first cave person could pick up a rock and throw it at the next.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I bet the first time somebody killed somebody was an accident, but I'm sure afterward they were like, hey, I can create a technique of just throwing rocks at people's heads.
Yeah. And, you know, it got more and more advanced from there.
In conclusion, I just wanted to come back and I thought we would just do a nice little rant about Chuck Norris and all those honkies that kind of ruined martial arts in America for 30, 40 years.
And, you know, definitely appropriated a lot of Asian culture.
A lot of it. I mean, watch Breaker Breaker. You get to see Chuck Norris in this, like, leisure suit gi combo. And, I mean, it looks like diarrhea made a suit.
It sounds awful.
It really is. It has yellow piping and it's black.
And it's a leisure gi.
It's a leisure suit gi. It's disgusting.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess if I have to leave you all with any parting words, it would be... Good night, everybody. I'm glad to be back. And tonight I was joined by...
Jacob Urban.
And Sophia's gone to bed, so I guess I'm going to have to sign off for her. Sophia Baca was here at the beginning, but she just... nodded off and we decided to keep going without her, but she'll be back. Well, take care and remember, don't trust Whitey.